Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
My daddy served in the Army. We lost his right eye, but he flew a flag out in our yard. Till the day that he died, he wanted my mother.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Joining us now is Ben Shapiro. Ben, thank you for joining us this evening.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, and, I know that we're kind of share our home here on KNSS. You're on KNSS. If folks want to listen to you, you're on weeknights here at 9 on KNSS. But I really appreciate you joining us here. It's nice to have you, a fellow KNSSer.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Well, you know, and Ben, I got to tell you, I've listened to your podcasts and I read one of the articles that you wrote recently. And it's one of the things that I wanted to ask you. It's driving me crazy. The new face of the Democrat Party just seems to be this war on traditional conservative values. I don't understand it. These folks, they're going so far left. It's almost like they're coming around the other side. Am I wrong here, or are they just crazy left? Am I wrong? They're just really insane now.
That's right. I mean, the radical left has decided to leave behind any semblance of moderation. What's ironic about that is, of course, the thing that will allow them to win electoral victories is not this. It's going to be any semblance of moderation, right? That's why Joe Biden is more popular than Bernie Sanders inside the Democratic Party. But the base of the Democratic Party, the most excitable members of the Democratic Party, believe that President Trump's personal unpopularity is mandate for them to push as hard left as humanly possible, and thus they are throwing out the baby with the bathwater. They're throwing out their own moderates, even though they need those purple districts. They need the Democrats in those purple districts to get their agenda done. All notions of gradualism, all notions of respect for America's past or principles, is being thrown out the window by the radical left. I think there's still a lot of Democrats who feel like they're being left behind by this new push.
Yeah, okay, so that's what I thought. I mean, how do they ever think that they can win a flyover state, a Kansas or a Missouri? I mean, it seems like almost an utter hatred for the things that define America, that define Kansas. You talk about right now, they're throwing out O'Rourke because Buttigieg. I mean, you see what I mean? It's how can they try, or have they just decided we can win with the coasts? You know?
I think that they have banked on the Obama 2012 coalition as opposed to the Obama 2008 coalition, at least the radical wing of the party. Joe Biden, and I say the moderates in the Democratic Party, seem to still want to win back Pennsylvania, Ohio, Wisconsin, Florida, and they want to do so by purporting to be sort of old-school Democrats, return to normalcy. But the base of the party, the people who are most excited in the party, the people who like Elizabeth Warren and the people who like Bernie Sanders and the people who like Beto O'Rourke, those people, they seem to think that they can recreate Obama's 2012 coalition, which shed a lot of those blue-collar voters from the middle of the country and instead banked on heavy turnout in urban centers to drive Democrats to victory. I don't think that's a durable coalition for Democrats. I think that is how Hillary Clinton lost. A lot of those folks did not show up. And the same thing could easily happen in 2020, especially with an incumbent President Trump with the power of the presidency behind him, if Democrats aren't careful here.
So how do you think that affects Republican candidates down ballot? You know, I mean, obviously, in a state like Kansas, for example, where you're going to have President Trump on the ballot, but we're going to have our Senate seat, as you know, is going to be up since Pat Roberts is retiring. We're going to have all of our congressional districts are up, and one of which is with Sharice Davids. That's a seat that we lost a Republican. We'd love to try and take that back. You've got all of our House reps up, all of our senators are up, and we'd love to, with Laura Kelly in our governor's office, gosh, we'd love to be able to win those back. Can we, or can we hope to maybe get a red wave here, or how do you think that can affect down ballot for us?
I mean, again, I think the possibility of red wave is almost entirely dependent on whom Democrats elect. So if Democrats elect somebody who is not a full crazy person, just half crazy, then I think it's going to be hard to see a red wave. If they select a Bernie Sanders, if they select a Kamala Harris, if they select somebody who's deliberately going to antagonize the middle of the country, then, yeah, you could certainly see the red states become redder. I mean, that's what happened in 2016 in, for example, Indiana. It's what's happened in Ohio. I think you'd start to see it happening in Kansas as well. You know, Barack Obama had coattails to a certain extent. I mean, even he lost a lot of state down ballot races. But, you know, Trump, his personal unpopularity is not a help to most Republicans. You know, the fact is that in purple areas, he's certainly not helpful among suburban women, older voters. His polling numbers are not great. But the fact is that if Democrats choose to alienate a vast swath of the middle by declaring Medicare for all and getting rid of private health insurance, if they decide that it's more important to ban guns than it is to defend the country, then it's going to become pretty clear that there's only one option, ballot.
So who do you think they'll, obviously the front runners appear right now to be Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders. Who do you think will be after they've got 2021 candidates at this point? Who do you think is going to emerge from that primary battle? Who do you think is going to be their ultimate nominee?
I mean, I think that if you had to ballpark it right now, I've been saying I think that Bernie's a lot more durable than people are giving him credit for. Everything that you need to know about Bernie's already out there. I think that Joe Biden is just jumping in right now. People have a sort of sepia view of Joe Biden, this kind of glow of Obama history surrounding him. But Joe Biden is not a good campaigner. He was a good campaigner for Obama because he wasn't the guy at the top of the ballot. But when he campaigned for himself in 1988, he was a fail. When he campaigned in 2008 for himself, he was a fail. I'm not sure that this lasts. I think that there's a good shot that the glow wipes off of Joe Biden as soon as he opens his mouth. So I think that in a crowded field, all Bernie Sanders has to do is somehow get those numbers up to about 30%. He's still running very competitive in New Hampshire. He's still running very competitive in Iowa. And he needs to see Kamala Harris. Bernie's best hope is that Kamala Harris and Cory Booker start to drain off black support for Biden, because the polls right now show Biden drawing a really disproportionate percentage of black voters. 44% of black voters by the Morning Consult poll this week, 44% of them say they're supporting Biden, and only, I think, 10% say that they're supporting Bernie Sanders. If that number starts to look more like 25% for Joe Biden, then Joe Biden has a serious problem on his hands.
Do you think there's a chance that we can win back Congress? I mean, I'd love to see. It seems like they're kind of eating their own. I mean, you've got AOC out there who wants to run primary opponents against the more moderate Democrats. Do you think there's a chance that maybe out of that scrum, we might actually pick up a few seats and win back the U.S. Congress? Love to see that.
Again, I think that a lot of that is dependent on how President Trump runs. Very, very difficult for Republicans to win back Congress in a presidential year if President Trump is unpopular, if the economy takes a downturn. Much easier if the Democrats run somebody nuts and if the economy continues to be good. So the Republicans are already running their own races. I think the Democratic Congress is not trustworthy. And as they continue to push radical solutions, I think they'll become less trustworthy. But all that could be militated against by, you know, President Trump's personal unpopularity. So I don't think Trump is going to change anytime soon. I think that Trump's best hope at reelection, I think the Republican hopes of taking back Congress and of gaining seats in the Senate, or at least holding their majority in the Senate, is almost entirely reliant on Democrats blowing this, as it was in 2016, by the way.
No, I think you're right.
I think that a lot of people were suggesting that it was President Trump who put together this brand new magical coalition and that President Trump campaigned wonderfully in 2016. That's not what happened. What happened is that Hillary Clinton was deeply unpopular because she's terrible at her job and everyone thinks she stinks, and nobody showed up to vote for her. And so Donald Trump won the presidency. And the same thing in 2018, the only reason that Republicans held the Senate is because Democrats were so terrible around the Kavanaugh hearing. If they don't do that, probably Andrew Gillum is now governor of Florida, and probably Democrats have closer to a majority in the Senate. So Democrats have a unique capacity to shoot themselves in the foot. President Trump needs to get out of the way and just let the Democrats blow off their own toes here. That's really his best option.
No, I think you're right. I think the best thing that can happen is for them to keep pushing impeachment and just drive the narrative, this insane messaging, the Green New Deal, et cetera, et cetera. And I think you're right. I think absolutely. Well, Ben, I appreciate you joining me. I know you've got to run, and I really appreciate you taking the time this evening and joining us. And again, you know, welcome to KNSS. We're glad to have you here, And it's great that you took the time to join us this evening. Thank you very much, my friend.
And thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Awesome to have Ben join us this evening. Don't forget to catch the Ben Shapiro Show every weeknight at 9 right here on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Coming up right after the break, we'll be joined by Wichita businessman and former candidate for Lieutenant Governor Wink Hartman. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.